الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على نبيه المصطفى. أما بعد, anybody remember what we covered last week? The Quraysh, what about them? What do they try and do now? They tried to prevent the da'wah. They tried to prevent the da'wah. But how did they do it? What was their approach? So what did they first do? Well, who did they go to? What was that name I mentioned? Walid ibn Mughira. They went to Walid. And why did they go to Walid? Who was Walid? He was a chieftain. He was one of the leaders there. Now, he was an eminent elder. And why was he an eminent elder? How did he get there? Because of his poetry. And that was significant because later it comes. Now, they came to him during Hajj season because they knew that people are going to come, and during Hajj season is going to be a busy period. People are going to find out about Islam. They find out about Islam, they're going to challenge them economically, meaning that means less benefits for them, in the sense that people aren't going to pursue the idols and give money. One, two, politically, people that have those authority and have those idols, etc., and that position, they'll lose that, because Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam will be gaining that, in the sense people will be going to Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam away from their money making employees. So we went through quite a few things, and they gave different ideas about what to call Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam. They said that, why don't we call him a madman? And they said that that's not possible because he doesn't have any of the signs of junoon. He has no signs of insanity. And they said that, no, why don't you call him a kahin, a foreteller? And he said, no, we can't do that either because he knows many and they don't have those signs. And eventually they called him a magician and said that he has bewitching effects in the end. And we left it at that point. Okay. Now, the Quraysh, they would challenge the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to produce a miracle. Did a miracle come or not?
No. Well, not the one that they wanted.
Hmm. So we covered this last week. What did a miracle come or not? The Quran was the greatest miracle. Yes, they were given certain miracles that they witnessed, but they weren't the ones that they requested. Now, that's not going to be... Remember, who are the servants and who's the creator? The creator is Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the God. We can't demand miracles to say that we want this. That would be the opposite. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that makes the demands and we follow. So, you can't make your own demands and expect that to be fulfilled. Whereas they were demanding certain miracles. You know, some people will say, same thing nowadays. Some people will say, all right then, if it's true, then you know, let lightning strike me. They say things like that, or they'll say that, show me something. Well, the Quran is the greatest miracle. The miracle is there for you to believe. You can't request a miracle on your terms. Allah has provided a miracle. Whether you look at that miracle, and whether you choose to believe or not, that's up to you. But the miracle is there, but you can't demand your own miracle. You're not what... Allah is not our servant. We can't demand that of Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who decides. Whatever He wants to give us, He'll give us. And He's given us the Quran, which is the greatest miracle. Now, by the way, this is the same narrative, right? You find the same thing being mentioned nowadays. That people will say that, you know, show me the miracle. Show me that. Now, after that we mentioned about Surah Kafirun. Right? Surah Kafirun. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. What did you mention about that? لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينَ. What did I mention about that last week? Yeah, that's true. But what was the context to it?
Not to share religions.
Meaning our religion is distinct. So they were saying, you know, worship and, you know, compromise on... But that doesn't work. Tawheed is pure and it will not be compromised on. We have our distinct faith. Our beliefs, our characteristics, we will be different. For example, we're going to go certain workplaces, you're going to go study. You're not going to go start shaking hands with the opposite gender now. We've got our beliefs, we've got our set of practices, and we follow that. We have a distinct faith. لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَدِينَ. They have their religion, we have our religion. We're not going to change it to appease them and to please them. Rasulullah ﷺ, at one point, there was a slight inclination. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then reveals the verse. وَلَوْلَا أَن ثَبَّنَّاكَ لَقَدْ كِتَ تَرْكَنُوا إِلَيْهِمْ شَيْئًا قَلِيلًا. If we never made your heart steadfast, meaning stay on here, you would have slightly gone towards what they were saying. But they were, and Allah subhanahu revealed in that time, that for you is your religion and for me is my religion. That our religion is different. And remember, these challenges always exist. One of the reasons why we do seerah is we get to see the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba, and how we can apply that. Because history repeats itself. That's one of the reasons why we do it. And we can reapply this. Now, coming on to today's point, was about what had now failed? Their plan had failed. What part of it had failed? What was step one? What did they try and do first? Our religion. Just before that, what did they try and do? Bribery, right? They came and said, you know, if you want women, etc., we'll give it to you, whatever you want. Then what did they try and do? So, meaning, what do you mean by reject? In the sense that? So now they first they did that, then they did, then they tried to, you know, bribe. But if they couldn't bribe, then they then decided that the whole gathering, and they decided to call him a madman. Now discredit, defame. Happens in society, same thing. If somebody is there doing something, the first thing you're going to try and do is try and, you know, all right, let's pay you off. Let's get you on our team. Get you on our team, sort of thing. If you can't do that, then discredit the person. Make sure that people can't respect that person. Yeah, same thing that happens, we'll see it. Find a case against the person. Or, you know, you'll find it. Somebody gets in a decent position, they'll pull out all the previous tweets from years ago and say, well, this person was such and such a person. So they'll do that. Now it's defamation to discredit them. Then what was happening? So then they were trying to create a compromise. Now they say, like, you make enough noise, sort of thing, then now you made trouble, they'll try and do something about it. Now they came to a point to say that, okay, why don't we do this where we allow you to do certain things and you do certain things, to try to come to a compromise later. Now, when offers of compromise now failed, even that failed, all the next stage they tried to do, they went back, but this time they went above, and they said, they went towards outright bribery. Before, they were a bit distinct. They'd be like, oh, we'll give you this, that, and the other. But now they're outright and they're doing it openly. To say, Utbah ibn Rabi'ah, a distinct uncle of the Rasulullah ﷺ, he approached Rasulullah ﷺ on behalf of the Quraysh. So who came? Utbah. Utbah is? Uncle. If I want to get through to somebody, what am I going to do? You find somebody who's going to be close? In fact, look, let's be honest, right? I know you, and somebody needs something from you. He's going to come to me to try and get to you. He's going to come to me and say, can you speak to him? I don't know him. Can you speak to him? Indirectly, they'll try and get to you. So now they're going to the uncle, because remember, Abu Talib didn't work. So now they're going to Utbah. And he said to Rasulullah, oh, my nephew, you know your lineage and your status. Meaning, when you want to try and appease somebody, what do you do first? Praise them. Compliment them. Talk about their good things. So he said, you know your lineage and status. You are the grandson of Abdul Muttalib and the son of Abdullah. Praising. Again, talking about, you know, lineage. Because that was something that was celebrated. You have come forward with a matter that has wreaked havoc on our people. Remember, Rasulullah ﷺ was a person that wanted harmony in the community. So he's appealing to that, and he's saying that you've come up with something which is causing havoc, the opposite of what you want. He's going in that direction. Then he comes and he goes a bit more emotional and he says, oh Muhammad, are you better than Abdul Muttalib? He said, oh Muhammad, are you better than Abdul Muttalib? Now think, you know when Musa alayhi salam and Fir'aun, what did Fir'aun say to Musa alayhi salam? About, in that conversation, what did he mention? Fir'aun, one thing about others, what did he mention in there? Anybody remember? فَمَا بَالُ الْقُرُونِ الْأُولَى. Fir'aun asked Musa alayhi salam, what about the previous people that came? They weren't following this tawheed. And they weren't doing this, so it's emotional. Because if he answered the question to say, yes, they were all wrong, then everyone around them isn't going to accept that. And if he says that, oh, they're saved, then they're not on Tawheed. So how can you say that? So do you understand how it's a double-edged sword? In each scenario, they were going to lose. So Musa alayhi salam's answer was, قَالَ عِلْمُهَا عِنْدَ رَبِّي فِي كِتَابٍ, that knowledge is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has that knowledge. Now, so he's doing that, he's saying that, are you better than Abdul Muttalib? Are you better than Abdullah? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't respond. Remember, you don't, you know, so he goes, and it mentions that there's no wisdom in replying to a loaded and rhetorical question. He's not asking out of sincerity. If somebody's asking a question sincerely, then you know you'll approach it and you'll talk through it. But if somebody's asking a rhetorical question and it's not going to have the desired outcome, then you're going to think about it that, all right, how am I going to do this? So Rasulullah ﷺ didn't respond. And sometimes the best response is silence. Don't give them their worth. If you answer them, you're going to sort of legitimize what they're saying. So don't even answer that in certain scenarios. Like somebody will come and they'll say something and they're not sincere about it, an Islamophobic comment. You don't need to respond in the sense that they're not genuinely seeking. They're just here to make an Islamophobic comment. Then Utbah continued and he said that we have never seen a young man as promising as you flip around so suddenly and bring so much harm to our people. So again, emotional to say that you had so much potential, but you're wasting it in this. Like a bit like a guilt trip. The Arabs are mocking us. You are creating disunity and we are at the precipice of civil war. Now, if you don't stop this, people are going to go to war and it's your fault. So he's blaming it on Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam. This is all your fault. We have suggested, we have a number of suggestions that might interest you. If you want money, I have the power of the Quraysh vested in me to offer you more money than any of us have. And you should be the richest Arab. If you want power, we will make you our king. And if you want women, choose any woman you want, and we will ensure that she marries you. If you are ill, then we will hire the best of doctors to cure you. So in all of this, they're trying to appeal to, you know, why would a person want power and authority? Why would a person want this? Is it because of power? Is it because of fame? Is it because of women? So they're offering all these things. And if it's genuine and you're sincere, but you're insane, then we'll help you. But Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam, embodying true wisdom and respect, waited until he finished and then replied, are you done, O Abu al-Walid? Utbah replied in the affirmative, saying yes. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, now listen to me. And he began reciting, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم حاميم تنزيل من الرحمن الرحيم كتاب فصلت آياته القرآن عربيا لقوم يعلمون بشيرا ونذيرا فأعرض أكثرهم فهم لا يسمعون. And I'll translate that. Then number one, أعوذ بالله تعوذ and تسمية, meaning I seek refuge in Allah from the accursed devil. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Hamim, this is a revelation from the most compassionate, most merciful. The Quran is a book. The verses are perfectly explained. Kitabun fussilat ayatu. Quranun arabiyya, in Arabic, liqawmi ya'lamun, for the people that know, bashiran wa nadhira, is giving glad tidings, good news to the people who delivers good news and warnings. Meaning the people that do good, for them is Jannah. For the ones that don't, then Jahannam awaits. Yet most of them turn away and they do not hear. They say, وَقَالُوا قُلُوبُنَا فِي أَكْنَةٍ مِمَّا تَدْعُونَ, that our hearts are veiled against what you are calling us to. There is deafness in our ears and there is a barrier between us and you. So do whatever you want and so shall we. Say, I am إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. The response is that, say, I am only a man like you. But it has been revealed to me that your Lord is only one. There's only one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So take a straight path towards Him and seek His forgiveness. Allah then says that, woe unto the polytheists, the mushrikeen, they do not pay zakah and deny the hereafter. Those who believe and do good will certainly have a never-ending reward. Ask them, how can you disbelieve in the one who created the earth in 2 days? How can you set equals up with Him? That is the Lord of the world. He placed on the earth firm mountains standing high, showered blessings upon it, and ordained all of its sustenance, completing 4 days exactly, for all those who ask. Then he turned towards the heavens, and it was still like smoke, saying, to it and to the earth, submit willingly or unwillingly. They both responded, we submit willingly. Atayna ta'i'een. So that he formed the heaven into seven heavens in 2 days, assigning to each his mandate to the end of that. But throughout, different messages are given, and it's the revelation is already revealed, so he's mentioning it to him, that this is the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of the Qur'an. Now, there were quite a few things mentioned about the days that were the days of for the creation, and about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being only human. إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ I am only a human like you. He's not an angel. He's makhluq, and he does not have the power to do, you know, bring about miracles and things like that. إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ And just the difference is that wahi, revelation has been revealed to me. Now, prior to this conversation, and like most of the Quraysh, Utbah had not actually listened to the Qur'an. So, with intent. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was continue reciting, Utbah's expression, it began to change. And as the power of the recitation and tempo began to intensify, he began palpitating, like, you know, trembling. You know some people that convert, and they talk about the experience they had with the Qur'an, and what made them convert. You'll hear it, and it's, you know, some of these things. I remember once there was one brother from Chile, he was in Chile. And when he converted, they were asking him, okay, what made you convert? He said that, you know, I could hear ringing and things in my ear, sort of thing. And the only thing that would soothe it would be adhan or Qur'an. So they would experience certain things which just couldn't make sense. Metaphysical things. They just couldn't explain what they were experiencing. Eventually, after numerous things anyway, he eventually accepted Islam. But that's another example that it has the power. The recitation, the power of that recitation is enough to move even the heart of Utbah who came like this. And Utbah, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam increased, so Utbah's heart continued to increase palpitating, meaning it was like more and more trembling. And the power and intensity until it rose with the verse of, if they turn away, then say, I warn you of a mighty blast that, like the one that fell upon Ad and Thamud, meaning the punishment that came to them. At which point Utbah could not take it any longer and jumped up forcibly, putting his hand over the blessed mother, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying, I beg you by Allah and by the rights I have over you as a blood relative, stop. And not to send this punishment. Imagine how powerful it was that they would call him all sorts of things, but the words of the Quran were so powerful and moving that he couldn't bear it anymore. He had to go and cover Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mouth. He then turned and ran back to the Quraysh from whom he came and said, "Listen to me, leave this man alone, because I have heard a speech from him which I've never heard before." This is a disbeliever, yeah? A disbeliever recognizes the words of the Qur'an and recognizes this, he runs back to the Quraysh. He's telling them this. And the Quraysh in their mind is going to be like, we ask you to do one job. We ask you to do one job, and you've come back and you're scaring us. Think of it like that. The power of the Qur'an, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he said to them, I could not comprehend all of it, but he will hold importance in this world. If the Arabs get rid of him for us, our hands are clean. But if he is victorious over the Arabs, then by Allah, his victory is our victory, and his power is our power. Again, in his mind, it's about, what's it about? Power, status, world, material things. He's not thinking about the punishment, those things that await. For him, it's about power and authority. The Quraysh dismissed his advice, saying, he has bewitched you like he has bewitched everybody else. So now what do you do again? What are they doing in this situation? Discrediting. They refuse, they're so blinded that all these hearts that are changing, they think there's a problem with everybody but themselves. Narcissists, right? Narcissists. They think everybody else is the problem but themselves. And that now because you've been convinced, it's the fact that you've now been bewitched. The Quraysh then turned to a nation that was more experienced in dealing with the prophethood. What would that be? And the Christians. So, But you'll see this part is a bit different. So although the remnants of Ibrahim alayhi salam's deen was there, they were still present in Mecca, remnants, because obviously idolatry has come in. Most notably through the presence of the Kaaba, his prophetic teachings were largely forgotten. And the concept of Nubuwa, prophethood, was alien, was foreign to them. They don't recognize Nubuwa. So whereas the Jews and Christians, they retained their history of prophethood. They had that connection to their literature. Their teachings had been distorted and corrupted, again, after centuries of corruption, it becomes much more distinct. But the people of the book, meaning Abrahamic religions, were still familiar with the concept of Nubuwa and the role of a prophet or messenger. Now, two of the worst of the Quraysh, Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayyid and Nadr ibn Harith, approached the Jews in Medina and asked for ways to quiz and catch out the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So one instruction was to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about Ishaq alayhi salam, Yaqub alayhi salam, and Yusuf alayhi salam. Particularly what happened to the family of Yaqub alayhi salam. The Quraysh then asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, asked the Prophet and Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then revealed the entirety of Surah Yusuf as a response. On another occasion, they instructed the Quraysh to ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam three questions, adding, no one would know the answers to these questions, three questions, except a true prophet. They were, ask him about the young men who slept in the cave and slept a long time. Who's that? Ashab al-Kahf, yeah? Number two, ask him about the man who traveled the world from the east to the west, whose experiences are now legends. And number three, ask him about the ruh. Ask him about the spirit, the soul. Where does it come from? The ruh. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam confidently responded, I will inform you of what you have asked about, but I'll respond to you tomorrow. But because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was confident that Allah would respond, he forgot to say inshallah. Because of which revelation did not come the next day, but came after 2 long weeks. Allah says that in Surah Kahf, وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلُ ذَلِكَ غَدًا إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. Don't say you're going to do something tomorrow, except that you say inshallah. So our habit, we always have that. Whenever we say something, we say inshallah. The Quraysh then began to mock the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after revelation wasn't revealed the following day as promised. They would provoke him, saying, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam promised that he would inform us the next day. 2 weeks have passed and he has not informed us of anything. Allah reminded the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the believers in that verse to say inshallah. It should be noted that being referred to as a slave of Allah is the highest praise. It's not a derogatory remark. Meaning it's not like in the sense that considering like somebody else, your slave or servant. Allah refers to the Prophet ﷺ as his slave 5 times in the Quran, different locations. Then Allah revealed verses of the Quran in a response to the 3 things that I mentioned, that details were provided about the people of the cave, the Ashab al-Kahf, that was revealed, as even things that the Jews didn't know. Then Allah identified the man that was famous as Dhul Qarnayn, and for the ruh, Allah maintained that it is of the mysteries of knowledge that human beings on earth will never know. They ask, that you've not been given except little knowledge of it. The Jews then knew that no one has knowledge of the ruh, and so it was a trick question. They just placed that alongside 2 genuine questions in an attempt to expose the Prophet ﷺ. Undeterred, the Quraysh escalated their persecution and began to physically torture their companions. Sa'id ibn Jubayr and Ibn Abbas about the extent. Sa'id ibn Jubayr asked Ibn Abbas about the extent of the torture, and Ibn Abbas said that the believers were tortured in the early days of Islam so severely that they were deprived of food and water to the extent that they couldn't even sit upright. They were tortured until they were asked, is Lat your God? Is Uzza your God? And until they answered in the affirmative. That was all the persecution they went through. What for? Just for basic of Iman. Remember, this wasn't even the stage where they were openly going and things. There was da'wah there, but it wasn't like completely, it wasn't like mass da'wah. But despite that, they experienced what they experienced. Any questions on what we've done? Any questions?
We'll just do Surah Nasr and then inshallah.